Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Well, good morning. Thanks for being with us here this morning on Galesburg Live. Well, fans of high school basketball in the state of Illinois, even if you weren't around at the time, you've probably heard the name. But if you were around in the mid to late 1970s, you remember the name. You remember him watching him on TV. Or for those of us that went to Rova High School, remember seeing him in person at the state tournament at the Assembly Hall at the time at University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana. He's got a brand new book out from Lawrenceville, Illinois, played at University of Kentucky. Jay Scheidler joins us here this morning. Jay, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing good this morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for taking some time with us here this morning. Well, the book, Blonde Bomber, Ride with Scheid, we'll get to where people can find this book and pick it up and take a look. Well, let's start a little bit, Jay. I know our Rova fans are going to want to hear about that 1976 tournament, but let's start with your earlier life. And, you know, something interesting you talked about, and there was rumors going around as to, everywhere else, including here, why you had the blonde hair. And this found out this isn't the story, but the story that we all heard was that Coach Felling, your head basketball coach, the great Ron Felling at Lawrenceville High School, said, we're dyeing your hair blonde, and the guys see that hair, that's who you're passing the ball to. But that wasn't the case, was it?
No, I had heard that story before, too. No, that wasn't how that came about. My mom started putting some stuff in my hair when I was around the fifth or sixth grade. To take care of some hair issues that I had, some oily hair and stuff, and her beautician suggested putting some of this stuff on my hair to take the oil out, but she failed to mention it, but also take the color out. So after about 5 or 6 years of doing that, my hair was completely white, so it had taken all the color out and ended up with just bleach blonde hair.
Well, at least in that case, though, they did know who to pass the ball to, right?
Yeah, they did. They was able to spot me pretty easily that way. So yeah, I guess it did turn out both ways.
Well, let's talk about growing up in Lawrenceville, Illinois, southeastern Illinois, and I know you weren't just a basketball player. You had other sports you loved that you were very good at as well growing up.
I came from a very athletic family, Tom. It was in our blood, and my father was a great athlete in the late 40s, and my brother in the late 60s, 1970, was a three-sport athlete, great, tremendous athlete, and it's just what we did growing up in a small area, whatever season, whatever time of year it was, whether it was baseball season or football or basketball, that's what we did, participated in everything. In high school, I played baseball, basketball, football, ran track, and played golf my senior year. So it was just, in my blood, and that's what I did. And fortunately, I had the athletic ability to be pretty good at all of them.
Yeah, and you had, I know you talk about some in the book, you had a father that he pushed you, but you still appreciated being pushed.
Oh yeah, yeah. He did push us, me and my brother, and we understood, his drive behind it all and everything, and it was tough sometimes, as it could be, trying to do what our dad felt like we were capable of doing and stuff. But that was like, again, that's what I said. We were fortunate enough to be able to do that, and he saw the potential in us, and so that's just how we went about life,
Talk about growing up in Lawrenceville, a town of what you were, was it about 5,000? It was bigger than that at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I remember my high school days. excuse me. I think the population sign outside of Lawrenceville coming in was about 6,100. But still a small area. I think it's about 4,400 now in Lawrenceville. It was, pretty small area, and again, that's getting back to what you asked me about, playing all the sports and stuff. That's basically what everybody did just to be able to field a team. So, that's that's how it went down.
So I'm guessing, you know, during the summers and when you're young in grade school, you're out on the baseball diamond with all your buddies playing and whatever, you know, Little League and that type of thing. But then, whatever season sport was in season, that's probably what you were doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Little League baseball in the summertime. And then, of course, when I had some free time, I was on the basketball court, you know, working on my game by myself. Or I hung out a lot with my older brother. He's about 5 years older than me. And I hung out with him and his friends most of the time, especially in the summertime. And I think that helped me improve my basketball game anyway, playing against, you know, older, faster, stronger, you know, bigger kids. And I think that was one key part in me being able to improve my game.
Yeah, I guess against those kids, learning to get a shot off, number one.
Yeah, absolutely. I was 5 years younger than most of them, and didn't have any business going inside and trying to work that way. So I think that helped me develop my outside shooting. Sure.
Yeah, and you talked about when you were up here a few weeks ago, what was that point where you kind of noticed, hey, my body's a little bit different. I'm stronger than a lot of the other guys my age. I'm more athletic. Kind of when did you recognize that?
Well, you know, it came pretty early. 8, 9, 10 years old, I my body just seemed different, developed, you know, from compared to everybody else. And I've gone back since, you know, doing this book and everything. I've pulled up old pictures and photographs and things that I've had, and you can just see a difference in my body development and everything at the same, you know, same stage of life that everybody else, you know, that I was with. I seem to be able to do athletic things a lot better than anybody else. I kind of saw that and realized that at a very early age, and it just went on from there.
So you obviously a love of basketball, but baseball was that sport that that was the one you really really loved, and probably would have loved to pursue that as much as anything.
I did, you know. I loved all sports, again, you know, like we've talked about, but baseball was really, I think, you know, really my passion. I loved playing baseball. I don't know whether it was, you know, just because of, you know, summertime and it was nice weather and no school and all that kind of stuff. But I loved playing baseball. I was a catcher my entire life. I started out in minor league at 8 years old, and I know they put me at third base the first day of practice, and I took two or three bad hops to the face a couple of times during infield practice, and I said, "The heck with this! Give me that catcher's gear," so I could kind of protect myself, and just fell in love with the position, I just had a real passion for playing baseball. I couldn't wait till summertime, spring and summertime, and when baseball season rolled around, I've told people this, that basketball was just something I did waiting until baseball season came around. So I never really got the opportunity that I was hoping for to further a baseball career. I tried a couple of times, which I explained in the book, but I really believe that if I'd have been given a real chance at playing baseball, I could have gone a long way, I think.
Well, and that's really interesting that you mentioned that, you know, coming back to your father and kind of the way he pushed you. And he had a reason that he was kind of pushing you away from baseball.
Yeah, I didn't really understand at the time. Of course, he tried to explain it. But, you know, with my love of baseball and everything, I didn't want to think that way. But, he around this area, especially in high school and stuff, springtime, a lot of rainouts, and we didn't get the publicity and the recognition for baseball as maybe some areas, you know, other areas around the state. And he knew that chances of getting a baseball scholarship was probably pretty slim. So he wanted me to concentrate on basketball because he knew that was going to be the best opportunity that I was going to have to get an athletic scholarship somewhere. And as it turned out, that's the way it went down.
You know, it's kind of funny, the fact you say, let me get back here behind the plate where it's safe, where I've got the fastballs coming at me and players trying to run me over, but you felt more safe back there than playing third.
I did. I know they call it the tools of ignorance, but maybe that's part of it. But, you know, I loved being back there. And as a catcher in baseball, you're kind of in charge of the whole deal, and you've got everything out in front of you where you can see what's going on. And I wasn't a vocal leader, but you know, I've always tried to lead by example. But baseball was just, you know, gosh, I just love putting on the gear and getting behind the plate and calling pitches and doing what I doing what catchers do. And I just felt like there was nothing like it in the world.
Jay Scheidler joins us here this morning. He's got a brand new book. It's called Blonde Bomber, A Ride with Shy. We'll come up, talk about where you can find his book. It's interesting. We're just talking off the air a little bit about it. I just assume it's like, okay, well, Jay's from Southern Illinois, most likely a Cardinal fan, but could be a fan of somebody else. But you actually had more kind of an interesting take on baseball and your love of the game and not really having a team that you followed.
No, I really didn't. Like I said to you earlier, I loved all sports, obviously, and I just liked watching good athletes do their thing, you know, and I just never really fell into the idea of having a favorite team or having a favorite player that I followed or this and that. I know it sounds kind of strange, but I just never really got into that. Again, I just liked watching great athletes, you know, do what they do. And as far as a Cardinal fan, you know, it was kind of disallowed in our household because my dad was a big Dodger fan.
Oh, okay.
So he wouldn't allow any St. Louis Cardinals stuff in the house or anything like that. And that was how we spent our summer vacation. We would find a three-game set, you know, weekend set when the Dodgers were in St. Louis, and that's what we did for our summer vacation. So, but yeah, he was a big Dodger fan. My brother's still a big Dodger fan, but I just liked watching sports, and didn't have that one team that I really, you know, put my heart and soul in.
Well, at least for us around here, anyway, for us Cardinal fans around here, at least it was Dodger blue and not Cubs blue, so that was okay.
I guess that's one saving grace.
There you go. What about, I'm guessing probably the same with the other sports, whether it was NBA or even college basketball, was there a team or any athletes that you kind of followed, or was it just the same way, you just liked watching great athletes?
No, I just liked watching great athletes. If there was anyone that I was really tried to emulate, or you know, that sort of thing, other than my brother, I would have to say Pete Maravich back in the day. I just loved watching Pete. Of course, he didn't get to see too many games back then, but right. You know, I liked following him. And I can remember when I was in junior high, I had my mom dye my old Chuck Taylor canvas basketball shoes. I had her dye them purple, and I stretched out the top of my tube socks, so they were all baggy and saggy and everything.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So I did like Pete. I followed him and tried to emulate him as much as I could. So, but other than that, yeah, I just liked watching sports and loved, you know, spending Saturdays, you know, just watching anything sports related that I could find on TV.
You know, speaking of Pete Maravich, and just a little while ago, I'm scrolling through Facebook, and one came up, and every now and then there's a video comes up showing it, whether it's, you know, him playing or a lot of the videos he did with, like, ball handling drills and stuff, which you know, my dad adopted, and we used a lot. It's just so amazing what that guy was able to do with the basketball.
Well, you know, he was ahead of his time. He was, you know, he was an artist. He was an athlete, and the things that he was a magician with the ball back in the day before any of that was really, you know, kosher. And it was just amazing to watch some of the things that he could do with the ball and get a shot off and either, you know, right hand, left hand, whatever. I just loved watching him do his thing.
Absolutely. Jay Scheidler, our guest this morning here on Galesburg Live. We're going to take a break. Got a news break on the way, and then we're going to come back, talk a little bit about the book and where you can get that, and talk about more about the basketball career. Of course, that 1976 IHSA State Tournament, Lawrenceville Rova, among other things, and he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois, won a national championship at the University of Kentucky. Jay Scheidler, our guest. Jay, we'll take a little break here. Hang on, all righty?
I'll be right here, Tom.
All right. It is just about 8:30, Galesburg's Morning News. Take a break, a news update, and more with Jay Scheidler coming up here on Galesburg Live.
Tom Meredith.
Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. I'm your host, Tom Meredith. Thanks for being with us here this morning. The book, Blonde Bomber, A Ride with Shy, Jay Scheidler, Lawrenceville High School. He was Mr. Basketball here in the state of Illinois, won a national championship with the University of Kentucky under Joe B. Hall, and joins us here this morning. Jay, thanks again for joining us. Well, let's get into the book a little bit. Jay Scheidler, Blonde Bomber, A Ride with Shy. First off, talk about where the book is available if somebody's interested.
We have our own website. My co-author and I, Paul Corio, we have our own website. If you just go to type in blondebomber25.com, that'll take you right to the page that you can just hit the order now button and get it that way. And for about a month, about 6 weeks now, it's also available on Amazon. So if that's the normal way that people go to get their book, it's easy to find on Amazon. But those are the two ways that you can find the book. So, you know, I hope that people take advantage of it and get the book and read it and take something away from the book.
And of course, if you go to your Facebook, Jay Scheidler, the Blonde Bomber, that is the page. There's a link to your Blonde Bomber 25 website as well that they can connect with you. So
yeah, it throws up the blondebomber25.com thing, and you just tap on that, and it takes you right to the order now page.
Well, before we get into kind of some of the high school stuff and even playing at Kentucky, let's get into to you writing the book and how that came about. It's really really interesting story, and you were having kind of a tough time, and this is something that really kind of helped turn things around for you.
Yeah, it was, Tom. I had gotten the idea maybe 20 years ago after talking to quite a few people through my playing days and then post-playing days and everything, and people, I would be out with friends or family or whatever, and certain things would come up, and I'd tell them, a little bit about, this and that and what went on and what we went through and what I had to endure and stuff, and everybody would tell me, gosh, man, you really need to write a book. People would like to hear about this sort of stuff, and I tried to sit down at the computer about 20 years ago and tried to, start the book myself, but I just didn't have the discipline enough to sit there and hammer it out on the keyboard. So I kind of put it on the back burner and skipped forward about 20 years. Yeah, I was going through a very tough time in my life, and a couple of my Kentucky teammates kind of came to my rescue, so to speak, when they showed up that morning at my apartment, after talking with them for a little while, they both, looked at me and they knew of some things that went on at Kentucky that, that I had to go through and was put through. And they both, told me that you need to write a book. People would like to hear about these things because a lot of people, they look at athletes and any performer type thing that in the public eye, so to speak, that, they only see one side of it, and that's on the court or the field or whatever. And they don't really realize what personal things that guy might be going through. So, I wanted to tell that part of it and tell my story, and Paul and I have done an excellent job of relating those things in the book, and it's an inspirational book. Like we've talked about, I've gone through some tough times, which a lot of people do, but I was fortunate to make it through that, and so I hope that people can read it and kind of look at it, and if they're going through similar things, I hope that they can take something from the book and realize that that, you know, they can get through things if they just lean on God and turn everything over to God let him do his thing on his time. You know, you can get through it. You just have to persevere and never give up, basically.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You talked about, you know, okay, you're the basketball star. Here you are playing at University of Kentucky. Life's just easy, right? Well, no, you're still going to school, going to class. You got your bachelor's degree there. But so much else. It's not, you know, people can see it from the outside, say it's pretty such an easy life. But you got to, as a student athlete at a Division I school, and especially, you know, Alabama football, Kentucky basketball, Duke basketball, you've got a full-time job and you're a full-time student.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because it's basically your life, you know, especially at Kentucky, you know, 24/7, it's all about, you know, basketball and stuff. And you're right, you know, you still have that part of life that you've got to get through with classes and dating and, you know, and all that kind of stuff and stuff going on behind the scenes with family and things that, you know, a lot of people just don't think about or don't realize it's going on. So yeah, it's pretty tough. It's more of a job at that stage, you know, and things can pile up on you and kind of get in your head. And that's what happened to me. And it's not all peaches and cream every day. It's just sometimes it can get a little overwhelming.
Jay Scheidler joining us, the book, The Blonde Bomber, Ride with Scheid. And, you know, it one of the great things that not everybody gets to experience, but, you know, I would always say encourage your kids to get in, whether it's athletics or some form of something where they're in with a group of people. Because prime example, when you had guys show up at your place, former teammates, and these are big name guys that were huge stars at University of Kentucky, and years later show up and they're still, you know, you're still brothers, and it's just such a great fraternity to be in, no matter what the sport or the organization, just being a teammate.
Yeah, you're right, Tom, and I've explained this to people that, you know, especially at that level, even in high school, whatever, you know, the bonds that you make with your teammates, because you're going to war every day, you're battling against each other every day, and you become so close, and you know, especially as successful as the teams that I was played on at Lawrenceville and then again at Kentucky. You know, you make sacrifices for each other, and you learn so much on how to be with people, how to deal with people, how to work with people. You can get so much from athletics, that you might not be able to get anywhere else. And those bonds, those ties that you make that way are forever. In high school, my high school teammates, they sacrificed so much, you know, in trying to get me the ball all the time and everything. But to be successful, you know, they bought into the fact that, you know, that was the way it was going to have to be. And at Kentucky, you know, I mean, it's just that team at Kentucky, especially the 78 team, I've never been around 13 other more classier guys, men, in their community. I mean, it's just, it's an unbelievable thing. It's hard to describe, but you know, that's the way it was, and I'm so thankful that I built that sort of rapport with the teammates, and you know, they, like I said, they came to my rescue, and I'm so grateful, and I thank God for them every day.
You know, and it's great because that team, those of us who remember that team from 1978 that won the national championship, you know, like I said, these are guys, these were huge names at University of Kentucky and still very well known. And, you know, here you have Jack Goose Givens show up, Kyle Macy shows up. It's like, it's that had to make you feel good that these guys were still thinking about you.
Well, it did, you know. I kind of, my time at Kentucky, I kind of felt like out of place at times, kind of like an outsider, and I didn't really realize down deep in my heart the connection, you know, with those guys, and for them to show up when I'm at my darkest moment really meant a lot to me, and I'm a very emotional guy, and it just, gosh, it meant so much that I didn't really realize until that point that, you know, what what I meant to them and our relationship together. And it just, gosh, it was just overwhelming when they showed up that morning. And they basically saved my life. So I owe a lot to them, and I'm grateful for their friendship and their being who they are.
Jay Scheidler, our guest this morning, the book available, it's Blonde Bomber, A Ride with Scheid. You can find it at the website, blondebomber25.com, also on Amazon as well. We're going to work our way back. We're going to start with the University of Kentucky and then get back into the high school stuff in just a bit. Well, let's talk about that choice coming out of high school. You're Mr. Basketball. You're playing in all-star games. And obviously, you were heavily recruited by probably just about every team all over the country. And talk about that process and how Kentucky became the school of choice. I mean, it was really interesting at that time. That was kind of the royalty in basketball at the time. Obviously, over the years, they had been a great program. You had UCLA had just come off all their championships in the 60s, and they were coming back to earth a little bit. Kansas had been up and down. Duke wasn't quite there yet. Carolina wasn't quite there yet. So Kentucky was kind of the royalty. How do you end up there?
Well, during the recruiting process, I really didn't know where I wanted to go to school. If I'd have had somebody come up to me and say, I think it'd be best if you go here, I would have said that sounds fine to me, and I would have signed. But I just really didn't know. It was so overwhelming, with everybody, letters and phone calls and people showing up at the house and that sort of stuff. But Coach Felling at Lawrenceville was really good friends and had a good relationship with Bobby Knight at Indiana. So a lot of people around home thought I would probably end up going to IU. And I did come close to going to IU. I considered it up until late in the recruiting process, but I didn't make a lot of visits. I visited Kansas State. Because Coach Felling was really good friends with Jack Hartman, the coach there at the time. And I made a visit to Alabama, strangely enough. I liked their coaching staff with C.M. Newton and Wimp Sanderson and really had a good recruiting trip to Alabama. I met Coach Bryant and got to go to a football game, which was just incredible. But then I just really didn't know, and after the basketball season was over and I'd played in a couple of all-star games is when I decided to make a trip to Kentucky. And I was just overwhelmed with the reception that I got on my recruiting visit, and they laid out the road, the red carpet and just treated me so kind and just did so many things for me that was so impressive. And they didn't promise me anything or anything like that. Of course, they didn't have to. It was Kentucky, and I was familiar with the Kentucky program just by staying up late at night and watching their delayed telecasts on TV at 10:30 at night. Not because it was Kentucky, but it was a basketball game that I was able to watch and stuff. But that got me familiar with the personnel that was going to be there the first couple of years if I did sign to go to Kentucky. And on my recruiting trip, I met all the players that were going to be back and just felt like I just wanted to go someplace where I could win. I wasn't looking at personal avenues or anything like that. That's never been my way of thinking. I just wanted to win because we were so successful at Lawrenceville, and I just wanted to carry that on in my college days. And I just felt like after making the trip to Kentucky that, our chances of winning a national championship were going to be pretty good the first year or two I was going to be there. And when we left that day, my parents and I left that day, I knew in my mind, back in my mind, that I was going to come back to Lexington to go to school.
And it's interesting because you mentioned Alabama. Not that you wouldn't have won there, but those chances of winning a national championship, that was a whole different thing. It would have been probably a winning program, but you were wanting, you were kind of the brass ring. You wanted an opportunity to win the big one.
Yeah, Coach Newton had got Alabama's program on the right track, and they were a pretty successful team and everything, but I just didn't feel like there was going to be enough to be in the mix of winning a national championship. And, again, that's all I had, in my mind was to do that. As it turned out, I made a good decision in that respect because, my sophomore year, in 78, we do win the national championship. So that was my main goal. What an experience that was.
Absolutely. Jay Scheidler, our guest this morning, going to take another quick break here, come back, talk a little bit more about the University of Kentucky, and then a little bit about 1976 in that state tournament at Assembly Hall in Champaign-Urbana. Jay Scheidler, our guest here this morning. This is Galesburg Live. This is Galesburg Live. Our guest this morning, Jay Scheidler, Lawrenceville High School, Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois, 1976, won a national championship at University of Kentucky in 1978. He's got a book called Blonde Bomber, A Ride with Scheid. You can find it on his website, blondebomber25.com. Also available at Amazon, and talking about his life and basketball and time at Kentucky and post-basketball as well. And, Jay, we were talking a little bit off the air. One of the things you mentioned moments ago, that you weren't looking for anything personal, because a lot of the thought was like, okay, well, Kyle Macy's coming in. Kyle Macy transferring from Purdue, he was a great shooter. So you weren't looking, you didn't go, it's like, okay, I need to find this school where I'm going to be the guy, I'm going to be the shooter. That wasn't your thought process. I just want to go to find a place where I can win with a great team.
Exactly, Tom. I wasn't looking at a school as far as personal things. That just never has been me at all. I just, I just wanted to play for a winner and have a chance of winning a championship. That's the reason I came to Kentucky. As far as Kyle, I could have gone elsewhere to maybe smaller schools or maybe not as well-known schools and been the guy, but again, that just wasn't my persona, and that didn't play into it any at all. My freshman year, when Kyle had transferred from Purdue, he was on the defensive team in practice. Of course, he was ineligible to play. So, and I was a starter. So, going against him every day in practice, I knew how good he was, and was really looking forward to the following year when he was going to be eligible to play in the backcourt with him. unfortunately, I broke my foot the title year in my sophomore year. I broke my foot the second day of practice and lost my starting job. But the experience of being there and winning his championship is none better.
1976, Jay. that was quite a year in basketball. What's really interesting, and you ended up for Class A being Mr. Basketball here in the state of Illinois. It was an interesting year. That was the year of the big man here in the state of Illinois, whether it was in 1A. Of course, you played against Dave Johnson here from Rova. You played against Mike Duff from El Dorado. There were several others from small schools, but in Class AA of the state tournament, of course, here in Galesburg, they went to state that year. Had Mike Campbell went to Northwestern, Scott Kelly went to Iowa, transferred to Evansville. Levi Cobb. There was just tons. It was the year of the big guy here in the state of Illinois. But here you were and just had quite an amazing season. I'm guessing you guys were one of those teams that were outsized night in and night out in 1976.
Yeah, not only 76. It was pretty much my entire high school career. We were outsized by a lot of people. Especially holiday tournaments at Carbondale and places like that. I think a kid by about 6'3" or 6'4" was the biggest teammate I had in high school. So we were outsized every night, but, due to Coach Felling and his preparation of us and everything, we knew how to play. We knew how to play together and we were very successful. We didn't have the greatest talent, so to speak, in the world, but everybody knew how to play. Everybody knew how to shoot the ball due to Coach Felling's teachings and techniques and everything like that. So we took it on our shoulders and knew that if we played our game and did what we knew how we could do, we knew that chances are we were going to be able to win the game and didn't lose too many games in high school. But, uh, Yeah, it was, you know, we got used to that and didn't really think about that too much.
All right, so state tournament. We'll just talk about kind of that year leading up to the state tournament. You guys obviously had a great season, did get a chance to play against some bigger schools and competition, like you said, at Carbondale. So what? And obviously you guys coming off a championship just a few years earlier. What what was the kind of the thought process? Where, you know, was that goal a state championship?
Oh yeah, yeah. Every year, especially when the two class system, which started in 1972, and Lawrenceville was able to win the first Class A championship, you know, in 1972. So we knew that going into the season that if we did things right and did what we knew how to do, that we were going to maybe have a chance to, you know, get into Champaign. And fortunately, we did, you know, 2 years while I was in high school in 74, winning the state championship my sophomore year, and then a return trip to Champaign in 76. We felt like we had a good chance to win the state tournament that year. Things happen for a reason. And we came across Rova in the semifinals with Dave Johnson and I think his name's Mike Shepard, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. Mike may be listening this morning, Jay. So I'm gonna let you. We'll get to that shot, that call that was made. But yeah, no, and I think everybody going in, obviously El Dorado and you guys seemed like the teams to beat, and a lot of surprise faces when it was Rova and Mount Pulaski in the championship game.
Rova had a nice team, obviously, and Dave Johnson was an all-stater at I think he was about 6'8". We held him pretty good, defensively and stuff, but when you go to a free throw line and make 19 out of 20 free throws, that kind of helps the team's calls and stuff. So, but anyway, you know, it was a great semifinal game I wish we could have won it. I think if a couple of calls had gone the other way, we possibly could have. We probably should have been in the championship game, and I think we could have handled Mount Pulaski. But it is what it is, and it was probably one of the better semifinal games of the state tournament up to that time.
Yeah, well, and of course, defensively, we held you to just 48 in that game. So,
I missed a couple free throws.
Well, I think I told you when I saw you just a few weeks ago. We actually, when my brother and I actually did find my dad's shot chart from that game, and this was after the 3-point line came into effect, and we figured out that you would have had somewhere around, you had 40, you would have had somewhere around like 70 or 72 points, but it would have been. A closer game, but we would have had enough threes that we would have won by like three, I think. It still would have been obviously a much higher scoring game. But the 3-point line comes into effect. Was that were you happy to see that, or just I can get another point for where I'm shooting, or what?
Well, I really wasn't a big fan of the 3-point line. It came in, I guess, in the mid 80s, 83, 84, somewhere in there, 85. And I was just, you know, a little ahead of my time, I guess. But I really don't like the 3-point line. I think it's changed the game. Obviously, shooting percentages have gone down. Overall team shooting percentages. You know, if you shoot between 40 and 45% as a team, you're doing pretty good. And that's, you know, that's comes from, you know, too many 3-point shots, but. There's just a lot of guys that try to shoot the 3-pointer, in my mind, that really don't have any business trying to shoot the 3-pointer. I mean, if you go to a camp or a clinic or anything and you roll out the balls, that's the first thing that little kids do is run behind that line and try to chuck one up.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, I get the 3-for-2 type thing, you know, that sort of thing, but, I don't know, I would have taken advantage of it, you know, in high school and in college and everything if it was in play, but it's just changed the game for the wrong reasons, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the one call in particular. You had an issue with Mike Shepard with the shot, and it was a goaltending call. Talk about that play.
Well, I can't remember how it all came about. I think we either threw the ball away or they got a steal or something, and he was ahead of me, and I was kind of trailing the play, but I knew that if I got in there close enough that I would be able to block it. And in my mind, it was a clean block. But I think that the referees were so shocked that a 6'1" kid would get up and get the ball, in the square, so to speak, or above the square. And I think that, just for that split second, the referee's like, well, that had to be goaltending. That guy couldn't get up that high to do that.
Look, 39-inch vertical jump. Yes, I can.
Yeah. So, but it was one of the calls that I was talking about. If it went the other way, the outcome might have been different. But, they made the call and you have to live with it and everything. But I still to this day feel like it was a clean block.
All right. Well, Jay, thanks so much. Again, the book is Blonde Bomber, A Ride with Scheid. And again, if you go to his Facebook page, Jay Scheidler, The Blonde Bomber, you can find a link to BlondeBomber25.com. The book is available there. Also at Amazon. And Jay, thank you so much for taking some time with us and sharing some memories. Hopefully people will grab a copy of the book and find some more memories with you.
Tom, I appreciate the opportunity this morning talking to you, and I hope that the people that do get the book, again, take something good away from it. There's a lot of good and bad in there and everything, but I bare my soul in the book, which was my whole point of writing the book, and I hope people enjoy the book. It is a good read, and again, I hope people can take something positive away from the book. So I hope that they can get it, again, like you said, blondebomber25.com or Amazon. And on Amazon, that the ebook is also available. So I know a lot of people, read books that way nowadays, so they can get it that way as well. So I hope they do, and I hope they enjoy it.
Absolutely. Jay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Take care, buddy. God bless.